Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. I understand Dr. G's doing some work down in the basement, trying to get some things straight. So we're going to pray for him and the folks helping him. They can do what they need to do tonight. But we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And Sheila G, it's good to be back on the line tonight, and we experienced some of those big thunder boomers on last week.
Right.
Thank God on last night before last. Thank God for allowing us to be able to get back together and keeping us through the storm. And, mm-hmm. you know, we often look at our situation in our lives and we can compare it with different things. And we were talking about how dynamic God was last week, about how he orchestrates things with different people at different times to help us navigate our lives, what our calling is, to be able to carry out his will. And, you know, we were looking at the storms of life and that Paul is going through right now, and just reminded me of all those big storms that came through. Some people are still out without power,
right.
Shut down one of the major universities, Maryland University, and the storms were in tornado range, like a Category 1 tornado, and it just seemed that if these things, they come every so often. Our younger brother, Reggie, reached out to us to see how things were, the storms were that bad that he heard about them in Georgia. And what happens is through the storms of life, in our lives and the lives around us, what happens is people will get opportunity to be able to hear about something and reach out to someone because they affect people's lives near and far. So the storms you're going through, people will hear about them and people will be affected And by them being affected by the storms you go through, they can make decisions based upon what they see is actually happening in your life. And so here, Paul, as we're studying Acts in the 22nd chapter, he's going through some storms in his life, but God allows him to go through these storms, and people hear about him going through these storms, so they can too come to know this God, this Jesus, as Lord and Savior. And so sometimes when we're going through, we're like, man, this is crazy. I'm not feeling this. Why, God, am I going through this? This doesn't make sense in my life. But like we said, we serve a dynamic God. There's multifaceted to him that he's allowing you to go through this storm in your life so that other people can come to know him as Lord and Savior of their lives. If that's making sense to us, that the storms not only come to make us stronger, but they also come so that others that don't know God, that don't know Christ as their Savior, can come to know him and start to grow as well. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were talking about that, I thought about what we all went through with both our mom and dad. And, for example, when Ma started going through her dementia, and, you know, we were sharing with those that were around us at work as well as at church. But even the impact of when you started going, when she had to go into the nursing home, and Heart of God started going there, and with her ministering to every roommate that was in there, even though through her dementia her spirit came out, as a result of that, the choir was developed at the nursing home, and it impacted even the nurses and the doctors there. So we were going through it, and you were going through it, but people on our jobs, people at our church, and people around us, and even the facility itself got to see because our faith in Christ and her faith, her spirit came out even though her mind was going, that had an impact to us. So even in that situation, God was able to use all of us to encourage others when they go through that same storm.
Amen, amen. And so that's the thing that you have to look at, even though it's difficult while you're going through. And I don't want to sugarcoat it to anyone that these storms aren't difficult to go through. I'm sure the people that are in our vicinity that are without power, it's difficult. I had a coworker said that he was without power, and you know it was very hot. It was difficult for him to sleep, and we don't take it for granted that the storms of life that we go through are difficult and challenging. But in the end, what happens is God gets the glory out of us being able to trust him to guide us through the storm. And Paul is in chapter 22. He's going to give his testimony about how God allowed him to see the errors of his ways and allowed him to become a great ambassador, a great vessel that God can use to witness to others who have lost their way. But as we study this chapter, there's one big thing that I think we need to look at, is that Paul, once he had the encounter with Jesus, or we call it come to Jesus moment, he was willing to recognize the error of his way and submit unto God. And that's the biggest thing. In order for us to be used by God, basically in order for us to be saved, we have to recognize who God is and have to be willing to submit our lives unto him. In other words, we just can't have him as Savior, but we have to have him as Lord and Savior. In other words, we can't say, yeah, I want you to be my Savior, but I'm not going to come off the Lord, the throne of the Lord. And so we have to come off the throne of our Lord of our own lives and give that position to God. And so we see Paul actually doing this. We see him actually getting to a place in his encounter with Jesus, where he says, okay, I need a Savior and Lord, and so I'm going to come off my high throne, accept your salvation, and to allow you to be Lord over my life. And what we struggle with on a daily basis is getting self out of way And once you get yourself out of the way and get your emotions in check, then what? Then what happens is now God can use you. He can show you. He can influence others through you so that they too can get to know God in that manner. Sheila G.
Amen. Amen to that. We have to make a conscious effort to get ourselves out of the way. Our natural nature is to be in the way. Our natural nature is to say, okay, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm in the storm. Help me out. Help me out. God blesses us, brings us through the storm. And then we want to take the reins back. And that is our, and then say, I. And we have to be in partnership with him. We have to be willing for him to be our Lord and our Savior. I was listening to a message this morning, and it was talking about how we trust the Lord. He saves us. But he expects us to do something as well in trusting in him. So we can't just sit there and say, okay, Lord, bless me. I know you love me, but I'm not going to do anything to grow in his grace, to grow with him. I'm not going to allow him to say, okay, I know emotionally you feel like doing this, going left, but I want you to go right, and I want you to trust me that if you go right, it will benefit you and everything else. But we kind of like, okay, Lord, we want to take you off the shelf, do what I want to do, and then let me do the rest this way. Where Paul is like, he became fully committed. He was a new creature. And as a result of that, he still went through storms, but God was with him, and he gained strength. Even in the lessons that we've seen recently where he stood up to a crowd. But you can't stand up to a storm and stand up to a crowd by ourselves because our emotions will kick our butt. But if we trust in God, we can take us through it, but we can't just take the reins back because of self.
Amen, amen. And that once you have that understanding that the storms are going to come, I think you have matured to a point where that is no longer the key factor that's going to throw you off.
Right.
And I say that is you no longer a bait. That when the storm comes, you're not going to fall apart. What you do is you get an umbrella. You get an umbrella, and you get strategic where you put one in the house, one in the garage, or
one
in the car, or wherever you may be, that you have a umbrella because, you know, storms are going to come and they're not predictable. The weatherman, he tries to predict. But what happens is you understand that there's going to come a time where there's going to be a storm and you have to prepare with an umbrella, or you have to prepare with a shovel, or you have to prepare with some gloves or a coat or a hat or something. And so Bible study and church school, your own time spending in the word, what it does is it prepares you for the storm. And then what God does is he enlightens you along the way to let you know how to deal with it. I got the message. I was looking at something on cable, and the message came through on the phone, came through on the TV when they were talking about the storms, and it was saying in this county, get to a basement, get to a room or a place, and you can ride out the storm. You can get shelter. But if you're not rooted and grounded and you don't have an understanding of when the warning signs come, what to do, then you're going to get left out in the storm. But relationship with God allows you to be able to deal with these storms of life. And it's critical, super critical that we understand that, because none of us are exempt. And we'll see in chapter 22 what Paul goes through and how he gets prepared by God to go out and do some challenging things. But in order for him to do some challenging things, what he has to do is he has to learn from God how to ride out the storm. And the only way you're going to learn to ride out the storm is if you go through the storm. And that is the challenge of today. That is the challenge of our ongoing life. wherever life finds you, is that you're going to have to know that you're going to have to ride out that storm. But while you're riding through the storm, as the songwriter said, Jesus will show you the way and let you know that he's true to his word, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's what you got to hold on. You got to hold on to your faith. You got to hold on to God, that he'll give you the strength in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the tribulation, that God will come and he'll be right there. And when you get to crying, he'll come and wipe the tears from your eye. And when you feel like you can't make it no more, he'll whisper in your ear, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when you get a little dismayed, he'll come tell you, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Or when you get to a place where you can only sing a song, he'll tell you, great is my faithfulness. And when you get to a place where you can't get tired and you need some peace, God says, I am your shepherd, and you don't have to want. I'll make you to lie down in green pastures. I'll lead you beside the still waters. I'll restore your soul. And you'll have all these things that will come along. The word will come along, and it will encourage you in the midst of the storm. And as we look at chapter 22, God actually speaks to Paul. God actually, his word comes to Paul, and it gives him the encouragement. It gives him the strength, gives him the understanding that he, in the midst of this crazy stuff where he's getting chased by a mob, while he's getting manhandled by the Roman government, while he's getting used and abused by the religious leaders, that God is speaking to him in this hot mess, letting him know that I got you and it's going to be all right. Sheila G.
Amen. And like as we said last week, everybody was coming up against him. Everything that was coming up, everything he'd done, if he had looked at it as himself and not recognized that he was doing the work of the Lord, he would not have said, okay, let me speak to these people. He would have just gone on about his business and given up. But that's why we were saying last week how it had to be the Holy Spirit with him, so he weathered this storm and continued on with God's mission. And that's really what we have to learn. Like you said, you know the storms are going to come. It's just because you're saved doesn't mean you get saved from the enemy's attacks. But God gives you that word. God gives you that strength. And so you don't have to run away from it. That's why the whole armor of God is on front and there's nothing on the back, mm-hmm. because he has our back and he doesn't want us to turn back. And that's what Paul did. He could have, you know, emotionally he was drained because the religious leaders, the government, the soldiers, everybody's scared, everybody fighting each other, everybody's coming up against him. They grabbed him. They say get rid of him. But he speaks in the different languages to communicate, still wanted to communicate mm-hmm. because of God, not because of him. Let me speak to them. And going past the doubters, past the naysayers, that's how you know faith, where you're not trying to operate on man's terms, but you're operating on God's terms. And the more you do that, like you said, the more storms you go through, the more you see God do that, the stronger you get. So, yeah, it may be a stronger storm coming at you, but you know what? He got me through the little one so I can go through this. Mm-hmm. So that is where Paul is going to say, let me share with you where I came from, what God did for me, so you can do it as well.
Amen, amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 22, and let's see Paul, how he's dealing with his mob and all these folks and how he's going to explain to them where he's coming from and how God called him to minister to them. And that's one of the things that we have to do is we have to learn how to articulate our story. Our story is different from anybody else's story. We have to learn how to articulate how we came to know God and right. to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and what our experience was in our journey. And how the events of our lives brought us to this place. Sometimes God gets our attention and in a moment where he's ready for us to move from one level in ministry to the next level. And so God gets our attention. And so here, Paul, God is ready to use him in a manner to minister to the Gentiles and to the Jews. And so he gets his attention. And Lord have mercy, I think all of us can look back over our lives and say, there was a point in my life where God got my attention. What he used is he used the experiences in my life by getting my attention to be able to carry out ministry for him. And everyone has that opportunity where God gets your attention. So here God's going to get his attention in the midst of this crazy stuff he's going through. God gets his attention, and Paul is going to explain to them how God got his attention. Let's go to chapter 22, and we'll begin at verse 1. It said, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. In verse 2, he says, when they heard him speak to them in the Aramaic or Hebrew, they became very quiet. They said, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. This guy, he's talking to us in our own language. So they got their attention. And so Paul's upbringing to be able to speak Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, Italian, or Roman was something beneficial to his defense or to him ministering. And so all of our lives, whatever we're going through, we're not just going through to be going through, but we're going through so we can have experience. Experiences in our life to be able to minister to people. I know talked about our brother Stephen on last week about him growing up and learning how to speak French. So when we were in the moment in Europe and France, he was able to communicate and guide us through our experience in France, in Europe.
Right.
And so all of our experiences growing up, will God will use them to be able to reach someone ministry for him. And so all of our lives are important. All of our experiences are important, but we have to realize and recognize that to say, hey, God, allow me to go through this so I can get to this point to be able to do this. And so they got quiet. And then Paul said in verse 3, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus. In other words, he said, I'm a Jew, but I was born in Tarsus in Italy. And brought up in this city, and I studied under Gamaliel, one of the great teachers of the law, and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. In other words, I grew up. I understood. I'm a Jew. I got the law. I understood it. I was a Pharisee, and those were the ones that were supposed to have a knowledge of the Word of God, or the Old Testament, or the Word of God. And he said, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. And Paul was like, I understand your way. I understand where you're coming from. I can relate to you. And that's one of the biggest things I find in ministry, Sheila G, is to let people know, hey, I'm human. I haven't always been perfect.
Right.
I know where you're coming from, and to lay that groundwork first, that I'm not coming to you from a point of I'm holier than thou, I'm better than you, I don't make any mistakes. I think sometimes people in ministry, in particular leaders, sometimes they give that impression as, you know, they're perfect, they haven't done anything wrong, they're squeaky clean. And I think people will relate to you better if you can say, hey, I know where you're coming from. There was a time when I did this. There was a time when I was this. There was a time I didn't understand this, and this is the way I behave. Sheila G.
And it's very, very important that we do that, because I remember back in the day when they had, don't have it so much now, some churches still, what we used to call them the prosperity churches, where they said, all you have to do is have the faith in God and you'll never have a bad day. Well, what it was doing, it was hurting people, and that's why I think a lot of people fell away from the church, because if they were going through something, then that the leaders of the church will say, your faith isn't strong enough. If you want this car, you should be able to lay your hand on and claim it. If you don't get the car, then that means that your faith is not strong enough. If your body wants to be healed or you don't want to have anything wrong with you, you just name it and claim it. If not, your faith is not strong enough. That is discouragement to people, because, like we said, we're going to have storms, but God is going to be with you always. So we need to be able to say to people, I have been sick. I have been not feeling well. I asked God to help me. I pushed my way through the pain. I'm not going to tell you I'm not going to have any pain. I was sharing on yesterday where my mind was playing tricks on me because I found out that somebody that I had gone to work with last week for the first time in the office on Monday said to the company and let everybody know that they had COVID. Well, I had to wait till the meeting was over to test myself to see that I was negative, but it was like all of a sudden my nose started bothering me, my throat started, I kept feeling like I had fever, I wanted to get, so it's
right.
I had the same type of most, but then I had to check myself, and I had to say, now wait a minute, you know, either way, whether it's negative, positive, God's got me, so let me stop sweating it. Finish this meeting, trust the Lord, pray about it, and it turned out to be negative. But I still had to go through that human emotion, and I shared that yes, we have fear. We just can't let fear control us. We cannot get up in these leadership positions and not show that we're vulnerable too, because otherwise we're making it seem like we're superpower or we're the Avengers. But by saying that I go through, I get emotional, I have fear, but my trust in God is what has brought me through it, because I've been in a position where I've lost a job. I've been in a position where money was short and the bills were high. I've been in a position where it seemed like every child was acting up, but I still had to get up and go to work on 2 hours sleep. But it was only by the grace of God that I was able to do that. And even now I have that vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Even now sometimes I feel discouraged. But too often it's like leadership or those that have been in Christianity for a while make it seem like they never have a bad day, that they can do it all and they've already arrived. No, we're continuing to strive, and we will not be perfect until we die.
Amen, amen. And it's so important to be able to relate to people like that, because, like you said, you don't want to give them a false sense of, hey, once you're saved, everything's going to be, you know.
Right.
Skip to Malou and Peachy King. the storms of life are going to come. And so this is what Paul is doing. He's like saying, hey, I know where you're at. I was in the same boat. I persecuted folks even unto death. And, I was zealous. I was trained in the law. And I was born in Tarsus, and I was brought up under Gamaliel, and I studied the word, and I was right where you were. And so he goes on in verse 5, he says, as a high priest and all the council can themselves testify, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. In other words, Paul said, this is what I was. I was a law gangster, if you will. I was a thug for the law. he laid it out there, and that's what you had to do. You had to be real, you had to be transparent, and saying, hey, you know, there is a way that seems right unto man. But in the end, it's death. And I was doing what man, you know, said to do. I was doing how man said he would relate to the law. But the law came to show us that we needed salvation. The law came to show us that we couldn't keep the law. If you can understand that dynamic of God saying, I'm going to give you a perfect God, I'm going to give you a perfect law to demonstrate to you that you need him. And people, sometimes it's hard to get your head around. It's like, why would a perfect God give us a perfect law to show us that we can't meet that standard? And by not being able to meet that standard, we need to turn to him for his grace and his mercy to get back to the relationship that we had. And when you come to understand that, there's so many people that have said, well, that can't be. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do it God's way. And God said, I'm showing you in my law. I'm showing you in my word that you can't do it by yourself. You need me. And so you need to turn to me so I can free your conscience. And some people have a conscience. Some people don't have a conscience of their consciousness of guilt, their consciousness of coming short. And so what people do is they try to put everything in the place of God. God, there's a spot in all of us, a place in all of us for God. And so instead of turning to God saying, God, I need you to come fill this because I've tried everything and ain't nothing taking your place.
Right.
I humble myself. I surrender myself to you. Come in and fill this place. No, we try to fill it with money. We'll try to fill it with work. We'll try to fill it with a boo or whatever it is. We'll try to fill it. And it might be a temporary thing, but it never fulfills it. And so God's saying, you have to understand, I am the one that created you. I'm the one that made you. I'm the only one that can fulfill this in your life. And so God is constantly showing us himself and revealing himself to us. But too many times people don't want to be shown that, hey, you need God, or be shown that, hey, I'm coming up short. But that doesn't negate the fact that God is showing us every day that we need him more and more. Sheila G.
Amen. And you know how all of these lessons have been relating to there's nothing new under the sun. And as you were reading, and it just popped out to me, where he was saying, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring the people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. And he got permission from the council. It made me think about, as you were talking about, how we think and we listen to man instead of listening to God, the hearings this week. There was a young man that got in trouble with Saul. And he said he really believed, because the president said that he was supposed to go down to the Capitol and take over, and it was going to be a revolution and the government, because he believed from the head of the state, the president of the United States, that that stuff was stolen. So here we go from the same mob mentality and saying, I was in that mob mentality. And that young man said that once he got detached from the lies and he found out that it was a big lie and he was following a big lie, but he truly, truly believed what he was doing. Now he wanted to come forward to get it out, to help people to understand, don't be like me. Don't get pulled in like, because I lost my job, I almost lost my family, and at the end of the day, I feel like a fool, and I'm mad because I believed it, because like Paul was saying here, he got letters from the council. He was a smart man. He got the direction from the president, but if the president said that what he was saying wasn't true, he wouldn't have got that way. So it's like linking it to the same thing today, because it was like those two men, the one, the head, the ex-guy from the Oath Keeper, and that young man had their come-to-Jesus moment. And in fact, one of them even said it was only by God that it wasn't as bad. Y'all don't know how bad it could have been. It could have been a lot worse from being on the inside. But when you read that, I was like, oh, my goodness, there truly is nothing new under the sun, because Paul thought he was doing right until God showed him. And that's what that young man said. I had to get off the Internet. I had to get off of social media.
Right.
I had to do the studying for myself. And once I did the research and studying for myself, now I've turned it around, and I'm taking that bold step. Even though I got charged, even though I'm going to jail, I got punished or whatever, I lost my job, all this stuff happened to me because of that, but I'm coming forward boldly to tell people, don't do it like I did.
Amen, amen. And that's so important. Once you know better, you can do better, and you can share with someone else. That's the way to go, and it seems like it's a small thing, but every one of us has someone that is looking at us, or someone that we can influence to help out, and that's the way God is. He's like I said, he's a dynamic God, and it might just be one person in your life that you ever minister to, but God can use you and use your story to minister to that person. And here Paul is getting ready to expand ministry. He's just, you know, going to a place, amen, where he's being used powerfully in ministry, but he's going through a lot of stuff. And so he's saying, I'm going through this stuff right now with you all because of my experience. Sort of like you were saying with those people that testified with the Jan 6 committee. That they understood a certain way, but once they came to the knowledge of the truth, they wanted to share that with someone. And so once we come to the knowledge of the truth, then we too should be in a way place where we can share with someone. So let's continue to look at Paul's story in verse 6. in Acts 22, verse 6, he says, about noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. This, again, this is the come to Jesus moment where God, whatever it is that happened in your life or my life or anybody's life, there is a moment in time where God will shed light on the situation. Lord have mercy.
Right. Right.
And when God sheds light on the situation to show you, to show me, to show us, amen, that there's a better way.
Yes.
And this is the come to Jesus moment when Paul, when God shines a light on your situation.
Yes.
and I can't explain it for anybody else, and they can't explain it for me. But there comes a time in everyone's life, I don't care where you are in this world, well, God will reveal to you himself, and they'll shine a light where you realize, oh, my God. there is a God in heaven, and he's showing me who he is. And everybody's different in this particular situation. God shone a bright light on Paul in the King James Version. It says, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And so God is showing Paul who he is. Amen. Sheila G.
Amen. I said, in the midst of him doing his mess, and that's generally how it happens to us. We're messy. We think we got it all under control. We think we're doing what's right, but we're pleasing man, and then God will hit you. And it's in that conscience, that thing, that little voice or whatever, is and you come to that crossroads. I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, where you literally stop. But when God gets your attention, he really gets your attention. It may be through something that you've done. It may be through something that happened. It could be that you survived a car accident, anything. But up until that point, you thought you had it under control. But when he shines and says, and he stops you in your tracks, and says, look, are you going to do it my way or the highway? And he still, at this point, is giving. God asked him a question. He still didn't make him. He offered him and said, what you doing? And when he gets your attention and makes you think about what you're doing, that's when you make that turn.
Hey, man, I like that. I like that. What you doing? what you doing, you know? Let's take a moment and look at this situation. Let's look this thing over, and see what you're doing. So, in verse seven, he says, "I fell to the ground, and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And here is the moment, the come to Jesus moment, the moment where God shines a light on your situation, and says, "Okay, buddy." Or sister, or bruh man, or sister girl, or fellow, or ma'am, what are you doing? Why are you bucking the system? Why are you coming against me? What? Who is it? What you think you're doing? And we all have to look at it and take inventory of our own situation. Of what are we doing? Why are we behaving in an ungodly way? Basically,
right.
what Jesus is saying, why are you acting unrighteous? What are you doing? And it's a moment in time. And what I tell people is your life will never be the same once you have that encounter, whether you make it a decision to follow God or you make a decision not to follow God. And there's some people that have had this encounter and they say, I ain't with that Jesus stuff. I ain't with that religious stuff. That's for somebody else. That's not for me. And that's the moment where they choose. God didn't force anything on him. Like I said, he'll ask the question, you know. He'll knock on the door and somebody say, who is it? And they'll say, it's Jesus. He said, go away. I ain't got no time for you. Sheila G.
And the thing is when he knocks on the door, I think what happens is you have those that completely refuse to open it. Like you said, I ain't got time for this. I'm going to do me. I don't care how messy me is. Then you got those that kind of open up the door and say, I'm going to let you let your foot in, but I'm going to close the door on your foot. And then I'm going to do the rest of me. And that's the worst kind, because it's like you got the air conditioner on and you let the open the door and the heat come in. That's making it worse versus you either keeping the door closed or opening it all the way. And that's where people, when God is giving you that choice, what you're going to do, you hear that voice, you answer his call. But there's some people that only answer it to go through the motions, to get out of the mess, to turn around. But then as soon as they feel better, then they go back to doing it. So you're not completely surrendering all. You're not completely making that full commitment. When he asks that question, what you're going to do, he does not want to get a half answer. Either you're going to go to your first love, you're going to fall for your first love, you're going to open the door all the way, or you're going to keep it closed. He does not like lukewarm. And I think that's where we fall short, is that people play with God. They play church. They play Christianity just to kind of get over. But you can't get over on God. God is all-knowing, omniscient. He knows omnipresent. So either you're going to serve him or not. You can't do halfway. That's worse.
Amen. Amen. If a question, when Jesus asked that question, why do you persecute me? Why are you being unrighteous? That's the question that everybody's going to have to ask. And Jesus is asking the question of the day. He asked, why are you going to keep being unrighteous? You know, what you going to do, man? What you going to do, girl? You know, what you going to do? And why are you doing this? And you know, he'll speak to you in whatever language you need to be spoken in, you know, around the world, and he'll show you the errors of your way. And so Paul got asked the question in verse 7, and in verse 8 he asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the King James, he says, "And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, who you persecute." And so when he shows himself and tells you who he is in this moment of time, you have an encounter with the Lord. And everyone's going to have an encounter. If you walk on this earth, you'll have an encounter with the Lord. And you can choose to receive him, or you can choose to reject him. And he chose to receive him. And once you choose to receive God, what happens is God, he doesn't waste any time. God will come into your life. God will immediately begin to start ministering to you, begin to start, like we were talking about in Romans 12, begin to start renewing your mind. He'll begin to start regenerating you. He'll begin to start revealing himself more and more to you, to a place where you'll understand who he is, and he'll begin to start using you for his glory. And so here was Paul's moment, and he's explaining this to the Jews at this time. And he goes on to continue in verse 9, and he says, "And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." And in the NIV it says, "My companion saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me." And so in this particular instance, what's happening is our salvation, our come to Jesus moment, is specifically geared to us.
That's right.
In other words, our moment of salvation, our moment of accepting God by faith, is a personal thing. And others might be around you, but they won't understand. And people will be like, "Well, what happened? I didn't understand it. How did you become this? Why did you turn to Christianity? What happened now that you're become a preacher? What happened?" It's like, well, you weren't there. You don't understand my story. You don't understand how God revealed himself to me. You don't understand how God showed me what I should do. And even though you accepted Christ at a young age, as you get older, what happens is you mature. What happens is God begins to show you all this time you thought that you made it this far on your own, but I heard you accept me as a young person, and I've kept you and ministered to you all this time. And so at this particular time, now you're going to understand better. Now you're going to hear my voice even louder to be able to carry out my ministry. And so what happens is people have to understand it's an individual thing. It's a personal relationship with God. And when you have understanding that it's an individual thing and a personal relationship with God, some people are not going to understand. Some people are going to be like the people around them. They say, I didn't see nothing. I didn't hear nothing. What's going on? And said they saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice, which is indicative of they saw the light, but they didn't hear. They saw the light, but they didn't make a change. In other words, Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up, but they didn't hear. They didn't hear. And a lot of times it's not meant for them. It's not their time to hear, but they see the light. So the seed gets planted. Sheila G.
Yeah, I was going to say the seed gets planted, and they're just not ready yet. They're not ready to. That's why I was talking about the whole half-stepping. They saw the light, so they opened the door, but they didn't open it all the way. Paul opened the door all the way and fully committed himself. So they saw the light, but they weren't ready to be fully committed. So God was having that relationship with him. And I thought about how sometimes people want to ride the coattail of grandma, or my mom was saved, or my dad was a pastor, he was a deacon. It doesn't matter. That's that personal relationship that you have. And you become a new creature. So once you become a new creature in Christ, those around you will be like, wait a minute. When this happened, you used to flick off. Now you get upset about it, but you keep it moving. When this happened, I used to walk around complaining all the time. Now you don't complain as much. When this happened, so what's going on with you? And you really can't explain it. It's like I have this relationship with Christ, and then if they know the old you, they're like, yeah, we'll see. But
right.
But you'll get sucked back in it if you just see the light and don't hear the voice, and you got that door halfway open and not fully open. But once you make that full commitment, you may get knocked down on your butt a couple of times, but you can just kind of recommit yourself every day, fill yourself up with the word every day, because if you don't, you're going to get knocked down. And there's nothing worse than when God goes silent. And sometimes that will happen if you start doing things your own way and keep taking the wheel for him. He will go silent, and he will say, okay, you've accepted me, you trust me, now you're taking the wheel, you won't be led by me. I'm going to let you give enough rope to hang yourself. Then you have that come to Jesus moment. Then it's like, can you hear me now? Then you hear that voice again and go through it. But it is personal to the point that you know when God is speaking to your heart.
Amen, amen. And this is the part we were talking about earlier, where he accepts him as Lord. In other words, he comes down off his high horse, and he accepts him as Lord, not only Savior but Lord. And in verse 10, here it is, and it's a small verse. He says, "What shall I do, Lord? I ask." And that's NIV. King James, he says, "And I said, what shall I do, Lord?" And so The thing is, he humbled himself, he submitted himself, and he's called Jesus Lord.
Yes.
And when he becomes Lord, what happens is your life is no longer the same.
Right.
And you begin to start growing. You begin to start growing spiritually. You begin to start having a transformation. When he becomes Lord in your life, a lot of times we just want to save you.
Yes.
We don't want a Lord. And that's a hard thing sometimes for people to do, is say, hey, I'm on this high horse. I can regulate. I can do. I don't need anybody. I can do it by myself. But when you get knocked down off your high horse and you begin to humble yourself before God, God will never he'll never turn away a broken and a contrite heart. He'll never reject it. You humble.
Right.
You come to him, and when you say, Lord, what shall I do? and you're asking him and you're acknowledging him as Lord, then this is a wrap. It's a done deal. you have been placed in a position to receive the full restoration, the salvation from God when you acknowledge him as Lord. And it's an awesome thing when it happens to people, when you see people and other people might not understand the friends you used to have, the place you used to go, the way you used to talk, the way you used to work, walk. But there's a change in your life when you allow Jesus to be Lord. And I know we're running out of time, so we're going to go to the phone lines and say, you know, what difference has your life been since Jesus has become Lord? Since Jesus has become Lord of your life, what difference has it made in your life? And it's a powerful thing. As you accept him as Lord, that he makes the difference in your life. So we're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Thank God. I'm doing well. I hope everybody else is doing well.
Amen.
And that question, the change that it made with me when I allowed Jesus not just to come in my life, but like you say, be Lord in your life. I was running around in the streets, clubbing, partying, doing some of everything. I mean everything. And when he came into my life, I wanted, I asked him, I talked to him, I begged him from the beginning. I knew I needed a change. I knew that I was living in sin and it was just going to be self-destruction for my own self. And that's not what I wanted, because I knew it was something better out there, because I had a praying mama. So I knew all about the Lord.
Amen.
I knew about him. So I immediately wanted him to change my life and make me the way I had seen him change other people that submitted themselves, gave everything over to him, to stop, turned away from the wicked ways, and was looking for his face and humble himself.
Mm-hmm.
And baby, this is something that I wouldn't trade for nothing or nobody, no money, no nothing can get what I got now.
Amen.
He has made me into a brand new person. And I didn't know it was so beautiful until I'm living through it. I'm living through it every day. I don't care what come up. I'm for the Lord. He did so much for me. He changed my life. He changed my tone. He changed the way I look at things.
Yeah.
I mean, when he changes, he makes your life brand new. Brand new.
Amen.
So I'm just so thankful to my mother for sticking with all of us, sticking by all of us, and giving us everything she could about the Lord.
Amen.
And I finally turned myself around. And I'm so happy. I couldn't be more happy. That
Amen.
I'm serving him. It's what I want to do. Ain't nobody making me do it. I'm committed. I committed myself, and that's because of what I want. And I just thank you for listening. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741. Good evening. How you doing tonight?
Good evening, everyone. Hope everyone is well. I praise God that he came into my life and made a change. And he came into my life years ago, and I knew of him, but I didn't really know him. And a big change came when I went through separation with my ex-husband, and I had my son, and he was maybe about 3 years old. And I had to adjust to raising him and working, trying to take care of him and being young and scared and everything. And I asked God if he would be my husband, if he would just help take care of me, take care of my child. And I can testify to this day, Lord knows, he has not failed me. He has been everything that I asked him to be. He's been more than enough. And I praise God through the prayers and through just the word and just just grace and the Holy Spirit, just God being with me. He has brought me through through sickness with my child,
mm-hmm.
through sickness with myself, and many, many life experiences. And I know if it had not been for God on my side, I would not have made it. Thank God for the journey. Because going through this, I'm able to encourage other women and other people who have who's going through or have problems that, you know, Jesus will make a difference in your life. And a lot of times, you know, we feel like we just got to have this man at this moment, at this particular time, you know, or else we just not going to live. But Jesus will make a difference in your life. He will meet every need that you need until he feel like it's enough. You know, he gives people what they need. And in my life, and I tell people, you know, God has everybody's life laid out for him. But in my life, he led me closer and closer in ministry and working for him. And by me not remarrying, I was able to dedicate my life to the Lord and to serve him. And so I thank God for the journey. I thank him for what he's done in my life. And I just thank him for being there when I needed him. He has not failed me. He's more than enough. And so I give him the glory, I give him honor, and I give him praise for what he has done in my life. Because if he had not came in and turned my life around, because I sure didn't do it myself. It was him that made the difference in my life. And by me getting into that word, and one thing I can truly say, and I knew that the Lord was changing in my life because he led me in his word, and I spent just so much time in his word, so much time in praying and, you know, just trusting him. And I knew God was making changes in my life and leading me closer and closer to him. And I don't regret it. I'm grateful for everything he has done for me today. Because he's been good unto me, and I'm so grateful, and I'm thankful.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Here goes our next caller. Last 4 digits, 0072. Good evening.
Good evening. Could you please repeat the question?
Yes, the question is the difference in your life now that Jesus is Lord over your life.
Okay, so growing up, I always knew that there was a higher power watching over me. Didn't know what it was, but it kept me out of a lot of mess. But just in the last few years, since I have really been able to trust in the Lord and follow and make sure that I get to church on time and I'm showing up for a prayer line and Bible study and being with my church family, so many things in my life. I'm getting blessings that I didn't even know I was worthy of. So many great things have been happening for me, and I'm in such awe, and I'm about to start crying again, Lord, every time I speak about it, because I just...
That's all right.
I am so grateful because now that I know where my help comes from and that I know that it's the Lord that's got my back like no other, I have just been blown away with the things that have come to me just by trusting and being patient and waiting and listening to the word and following the word. And like the beautiful woman before me said, I'm able now to encourage people that are in my life that see what I was going through and how the Lord has brought me out.
Amen.
So now I'm a walking testimony, and I'm able to share the good news of the Lord every opportunity that I get. Like, it's to the point now where I'll be calling my mom and auntie and them and be like, excuse me, sister, do you have a minute to hear the good word of the Lord?
That's all right.
Just opening my eyes to the many possibilities and the things that the Lord really and truly has in store for me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343. Good evening.
Good evening. I don't have to go that far. The Lord been with me for all my time, and I've been so long, and he just had to wake me up and do the things they do. When he hit me in Florida, when I moved to Florida, and I thought I was going to have a good time and a good joy like I've been having all my time, and he told me it's about time for me to slow down and take it and stop what I was doing. And he stopped me in my track, and my eyes closed up. He locked me in a box, and he shook the box. Just kept shaking the box all over, kept open. And then when he opened the box up, my eyes opened up, and it gave me another chance to get back on the road where I'm supposed to be. And I'm right there where I'm supposed to be. And I haven't forgot him now, but I'm on the road, and I'm just so happy that I'm standing there, and I heard what he said. Get on the road and be still. And that's good what I'm doing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. Last four digits, 8660. 8660. Good evening.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. Since Jesus is Lord in your life, what has the changes been since he's been Lord in your life?
Growing up, I knew of God, but I never really paid attention to the blessings that he gave me. I knew that they were blessings, but it was more so I was leaning on the prayers of my mother. Recently, mm-hmm. I have accepted the Lord as my Lord and as my Savior, and mm-hmm. it has brought me unexplainable joy every day. I mean, amen. I could wake up with my legs hurting, and I'm not complaining about it. I'm just so joyful, hopeful. I'm just so happy. I feel like my trust in the Lord has gotten so much stronger now that I listen to the word every single day. I don't care if I am re-listening to a podcast I listened to already. I don't care. I'm going to listen to it over and over again because I am hungry to receive the word, apply it to my life, and just live through all those blessings that the Lord has for me. And I, you know, talking about it just gives me chills because I can see it, and it just fuels me even more. And I know that that's the way that I need to go.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 0266. Good evening. All right. Let's be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411. Good evening. One, four, one, one. Might be on mute. Hello? All right, Chill G, we must be listening in. But Chill G, we're going to ask you for your final thoughts and close out in prayer, please.
Pastor G just walked in, so he's going to give final thoughts and prayer.
Okay, awesome.
Good evening to everyone. Hope everyone is doing well. I got in on the tail end, and that question is an excellent one, and everything that you all have said tonight is so true. The best way I could kind of sum it all up, I think it comes from the word when the Lord said in his word that when we accept Christ, old things are passed away and all things become. And that's exactly what happens. You know, if we're serious about our walk with Christ, if we're serious about this Christian journey, as I've heard some of the callers say, that, you know, it's plain what God will do. once we make up in our own minds that we're going to walk with him, that we're going to serve him, it doesn't take away what problems may come, situations may rise, but it gives us a different outlook on life. We don't have to, we don't become doom and gloom, but we can still have joy. We have the peace of God, you know, because we trust in him. We know that he's right there, and he's going to take care of everything. So I commend everyone that growing in the body of Christ, and we have to continue to stay the course. With that, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another evening, O God, that we're able to come together with you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you've done this evening. Father, we thank you for that word going forth. And, O God, I praise you for those that have been serious about their walk with Christ, and now, Lord, they're showing it. Father, we praise you. We ask that you will continue to shine down that light from heaven. Help us to continue to become stronger in our faith and that we can let our light shine for you. Father, we ask these and all other blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.